Well, I'm so glad that you shared that story, Sarah. Thank you. Isn't it amazing to hear stories of God's faithfulness and his power and his healing from other people? What it does is it builds my faith when I hear stories of God's faithfulness to other people. We need to tell our stories to each other of how God has moved in our lives and our stories. Thank you so much. Wow. I just want to bask in that moment a little longer. So this morning I want to move into this idea of being rooted in joy. Rooted in joy. And this picture is a picture of my friend's little girl, her little girl that she adopted through foster care. And I love this story, this picture, because, you know, this little girl has been through some things. I don't know her full story, but I know she's had a journey to where she is, and yet here she is, frolicking freely with joy, welcomed into a forever family. I'm super passionate, some of you may know, about foster care because of my own story, and God has released me into a new season where I am working with Foster the Bay. How many of you are part of a partner church of Foster the Bay here? There's a lot of Foster the Bay people here today. It's so exciting. Foster the Bay is a coalition of churches committed to providing a loving home for every child in foster care. Because our Bay Area communities are in a crisis. There's more kids entering foster care every day than there are families to welcome them. And what's happening is these precious ones that Jesus loves, that have been through trauma and neglect and abuse, not only are they removed from their home, but there's no homes within their county or communities to welcome them. And so they're sent out of county, way hours away from their home, their neighborhood, their kindergarten teacher, who is the only one who sees them. And now she's gone because they're removed. And so I don't think that that's okay. I think that we, as the people of the cross, as Jesus' followers, as the ones who are called to love our neighbor, and Jesus describes our neighbor very clearly in the Good Samaritan story. The neighbor is the one who is powerless and who is in our proximity. The powerless in our proximity are the ones that we are to chase after, to love with the love that Jesus has. And so this is why I've joined the movement of Foster the Bay, so that we can reach a day where there's a waiting list of loving families instead of a waiting list of children in need of a loving home. So if you want to hear a little bit more about that, there's a table in the back. I don't have a book, but I got a table. And I will tell you a little bit more about the Freedom Fighters later. But I wanted to start with that, just as we look at this picture of a little girl who's been welcomed into a family. This invitation into joy, that's what we're talking about this morning, sisters. Be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let joy overflow. What does it mean to have a life that is rooted in joy? The goodness of God, we've been singing about this morning, the goodness of God is constantly flowing to you. Like Sarah pointed out, his goodness is chasing after you. Like Psalm 23 says, that Hebrew word there, that his love will follow you all the days of your life, is really a hunting term, that he's going after you. He's hunting you down with his love, chasing you down with his goodness and love. What happens is his goodness is flowing to us, but like Sarah said, sometimes it's hardest to notice his goodness in the just everydayness of life. And so what the invitation is to wake up to the goodness of God, to wake up. By the way, my husband is the one who finds all these slides for me. So I just tell him what I'm talking about, I give him some words, and then he just kind of like puts his touch in. He's very visual, and I don't think without him in my life I would have any visuals. I would just be like, keep it right here, right? But with him, he has just taught me how powerful it is to have pictures to go with what we're learning. So he's the one who's behind all these pictures. Isn't this great? Let's just wake up to the goodness of God, to wake up to it, that it's always there. And I love this quote by Julia Cameron. The quality of life is in proportion always to the capacity for delight. The capacity for delight is the gift of paying attention. Paying attention, waking up. These are the same. To me, these are synonyms. So, Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness that is flowing to us this morning. And I pray, God, that we would notice you. Notice the good gifts that you're bringing to us in every season, whether we are in the darkest season of grief, whether we are in the most joyous season where we're looking forward to so many things that are in front of us, whether we're just in a mundane season that feels boring, feels tiresome, God, I pray that we would notice, that we would wake up to your goodness, and that that would root us in your spirit of joy. Lord, I just pray that you would reveal yourself this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. So I want to take you to a story in Exodus 33 that, to me, is just a really beautiful example of what this looks like. I'm going to read it to you here, if you'd like to join along. Exodus 33, verses 12 through 19. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know who you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." He's like, "God, remember, these are your people. You got me into this." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" Presence of Jesus, the presence of God here. And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, I will cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence." Moses says, "Show me your glory." And God says, "I will let all of my goodness pass before you." When you think of glory, for me, the first thing that comes to mind is power and might and fire and big things, right? God says, "I'm going to let all my goodness pass before you." When you are aware of God's goodness, you can be aware of his presence. This is how you see his presence, is through his goodness to you. If you can't sense his presence, then look for his goodness. I was unpacking this word in Hebrew, this word here, "let your goodness pass before us," and it's this idea of beauty, fairness, joy, and good things. It's all of this wrapped up. The Hebrew words are really full of pictures and life because there's not a lot of words in Hebrew. And so every word has all these different meanings and just this weight, way more than our English language. So this goodness is incredible picture of everything you could think of that's beautiful. Moses wants God's presence, and the most powerful way we experience that is through his goodness. So often. And I love this truth that we find in Psalm 16. It says, "In his presence is fullness of joy." In his presence is fullness of joy. "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore." This "make known" means to know by experience, not here. A lot of us Western thinkers live here in our head. "I will know you here." No, I will know you by experience. I will experience your goodness. The path of life. Life here is this idea of green meadows and fresh water. It's springtime life, bursting life, new life. That's what this picture is. This fullness is abundance. Your presence, there's an abundance of joy. And there's way more of it than you could imagine. It's constantly flowing to you. It's not scarce. It's abundant. And it's also forever, which means perpetual, continual, constantly flowing. It's basically reiterating abundance and this forever. Fullness and forever are basically the same thing. It's all this abundance constantly flowing to you all the time. But the thing is, we don't see it. We don't see it. So how do we open our eyes? That's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to get really practical and talk about some ways that we can tap into joy throughout the everyday moments of our life, through every changing season. So I call these practices joy bursts. Some of you have heard me talk about this before. But these bursts of joy that we can tap into so that we can find along the way this goodness. We can notice the goodness of God. This passage I love in 1 Thessalonians. I'm loving the Passion Translation right now. It's a newer translation, a couple years old, and I love the way he unpacks this scripture. Let joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer, and in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. If you want a burst of joy, then practice gratitude. Oh, it's really that simple? Practice gratitude. Seriously, this is a life-changing practice. This literally can change the course of your life, because you know what changes the course of your life? Small shifts. Those are what make all the difference. And the practice of gratitude can be a huge shift in your life. You know, I love when science confirms what Jesus says in his word. And Brené Brown's work around, have any of you read Brené Brown's work? So much beautiful stuff. She's a social scientist. And look at what she says. I never talk about gratitude and joy separately for this reason. In 12 years, I've never interviewed a single person who would describe their lives as joyful, who would describe themselves as joyous, who was not actively practicing gratitude. And then I just had to have two quotes from Brené. Joy is not a constant. It comes to us in moments, often ordinary moments. Sometimes we miss out on the burst. She used burst. I just found out that this week, but I started it, the burst thing. comes to us in bursts. Bursts of joy, because we're too busy chasing down the extraordinary moments. We miss the burst. Other times, we're so afraid of the dark that we don't dare let ourselves enjoy the light. A joyful life is not a floodlight of joy. That would eventually become unbearable. I believe a joyful life is made up of joyful moments gracefully strung together by trust, gratitude, and inspiration. Isn't that powerful? That we string together all the small things and they make for a life of gorgeous joy. In the midst of no matter what, we can always find things to be grateful for. So I have some practical ways that we do this. One, this is my gratitude journal. This is a picture of my gratitude journal. And this has become a very regular thing in my life, to list the things that I see God doing. To list, and the way I do this is using my five senses. Because what we do is we kind of do these broad strokes of gratitude. I'm thinking for my job and my health and my home. No, not that kind of gratitude. We're talking about very specific gratitude. I was taking a shower this morning, and my mom made me a cup of coffee while I was in the shower. The smell of coffee that wafts into the bathroom okay, that's what I'm grateful for. You know, the way Sarah's eyes twinkled when she shared the goodness of God. You know, there is a very specific, a specific way of paying attention to the goodness of God. If we use your five senses and write those things down, this is simple, but it can change your life. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I love that verse. I will taste and see. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he told Thomas, touch and feel me. Get up in here and see and feel and touch and experience me. I am alive. I feel like so much times we're just disconnected from our body. God wants all of you. He wants your body, your mind, your soul, your everything. And he wants all of you to come to him. And so this idea of tasting and seeing and writing it down is powerful, because every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. How else could you do it besides a journal? Set an alarm on your phone the same time every day, and at that time, list five things you're grateful for. Specific things. What do you smell? What do you hear? What did you see? What did you touch that you were thankful for right there? Put them in a jar in the center of your table. Get pretty post-its and put them up on your wall. What practice of gratitude? It's not just this feeling you have. It's a practice. And when you practice, you become better at something. And then there's a moment where you may not have to write it down anymore, because it's just flowing from you all the time that you're like writing it down. Like, I had 50 things today. I didn't need to write anything down. This is the way I'm seeing the world now. It's powerful, and it can change your life, and it leads to joy. Gratitude is the pathway to joy. What if we received life that way? What if we looked and we were just on a hunt? Karen Mains talks about going on a God hunt and looking for a God hunt sighting. Where did I see him today? Ask him to open your mind to seeing him, open your heart to seeing him in ways that you maybe haven't noticed him before. A corollary to this is this idea of cultivating wonder. Cultivating wonder. If you want a burst of joy, cultivate wonder. As we grow up, it's easy to lose our sense of wonder. But children haven't forgotten. Children, I imagine this is one of the reasons why Jesus was so delighted with them, because of how they still were swept up into the beauty of the world, the wonder of the world. And Jesus said, if you want to get in on my kingdom, if you want to get in on my kingdom and be like a child, I think that for children, so the veil between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of heaven, the veil is just like, it's just a little thinner. And they can see. And I think sometimes we need to follow their lead. Like I tell my friends, go grab someone's 2-year-old. They'd be happy for you to borrow their 2-year-old. And go and just take a walk with a 2-year-old at their place. You know, what are we doing with 2-year-olds? Dragging them wherever we need to go. And so when you're 48 with a 2-year-old, just go a little slower. I mean, I'm fast, woo, but I just mean life. Because of life, I've slowed down. One of my spiritual practices is to refuse to hurry. Because hurry kills love. And it kills noticing the goodness of God. If I'm in a hurry, what do I see? Where I have to be, not where I am. And God's goodness is right here. It's not there. It's right here. It's going to be there too. But I got to stay in the present moment. And a 2-year-old helps me. Man, you could go on a crazy adventure with a 2-year-old if you're following their pace. Just borrow one. You know, your neighbor. I'll give you my address later. No. Oh, man. Cultivating wonder. What takes your breath away? When was the last time something took your breath away? Let things take your breath away. Let it happen. I love this. When it's over, when it's over, I want to say all my life I was a bride married to amazement. Isn't that gorgeous? So beautiful. I love that so much. Anne Lamott, she surrendered her life to Jesus. She was an avid atheist, came from a family who was very anti-God, really, and she surrendered to Jesus. And look at this. She says, I didn't need to understand the hypostatic unity of the Trinity. I just needed to turn my life over to whoever came up with redwood trees. Isn't that powerful? This wonder. I remember last summer, the first time that Isaac saw water coming out of a hose. It was like the biggest miracle he'd ever experienced. He was just like, you know, just, and we're just like, wow. It's just the simple things, because what is it? It's seeing things for the first time, discovering them. And he also, I know you're like, well, he has not a care in the world. I have all this stuff in my, true. He doesn't have a care in the world. But to Jesus, we are his children. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. What if we were to live in that childlikeness? A friend of mine who is a spiritual director, she talked about, what if you came to God and talked to him like you were a 5-year-old? What would you say? What if you came to him and talked to him like you were 12? How does your 12-year-old talk to you? That's super fun. But I think that's an interesting spiritual practice. What if you were to journal today as if you were a 5-year-old? That knew how to write. Just this idea of cultivating wonder, experiencing things for the first time, letting yourself be swept up in the beauty of this world. It's pretty powerful. A joy burst can come through the practice, the spiritual practice of release. Release. This passage is one of my favorites. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And this Greek, this idea of casting is to throw it. You're basically throwing it all onto Jesus. And it reminds me of the picture of, have you ever seen a mom, like, after school and she has, like, 4 kids? What do all of them do with their stuff? Who's holding all the stuff? Mom holds, I mean, unless you're, like, teaching your kids to be responsible, which is good for you, but they just kind of put everything on you, and you're like, wait, and they're just like, what are they doing? Footloose and fancy free, man. They're just running They have nothing burdening them. That is the invitation. Cast it all on Jesus, because and guess what? He holds it and carries it without any. It just doesn't. He can do it. It doesn't hurt him. He can carry it for you. Cast your cares and your anxiety on him. Release them to him. Our joy, I believe, is elusive. It's tough to be rooted in joy when we try to take responsibility for things that we have no control over. And often we have no control over the things that matter the most to us. I don't have control if my 19-year-old daughter is going to get in a car accident or not. I have no control over that. All I can do is pray for her, teach her how to drive, and then trust. I have no control. And it doesn't take any, it doesn't help anything for me to sit and obsess about it and worry about it and wonder what would happen. It's crazy. Crazy what you can do in your mind. Isn't it crazy what you can do in your mind? Yeah. What does that do? Does it prepare me for if it actually happened? No. Would it be any less difficult if it actually happened because I'm obsessed, worried about it? No. So what we're doing is we're robbing the joy of today by worrying about what might happen tomorrow, and it's just such a bummer. And I know it's difficult. This is super difficult. I was listening to a podcast called Justice and the Inner Life. It's put together by the Christian Alliance for Orphans, and it's basically a podcast for people that are fighting for justice, how to keep their inner life cared for as they're on the front lines of justice work. And John Eldridge was being interviewed, and he was talking about the practice the Desert Fathers call benevolent detachment. Benevolent detachment, which feels a little bit like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Benevolent detachment. But it's this idea of a loving release of the cares of the world. A loving release of the cares of the world. He talks about the commitment to this practice. He says, every evening, I lay my head on the pillow and I say, I give everything and everyone to you, Jesus. And he lists them, all the things that are heavy on his heart. I give everyone and everything to you, Jesus. This is his spiritual practice of release every night before bed. He talked about the reality that the human soul is finite, but we are living in a time where heartache is infinite and it's always in our fingertips, in our hands, through our phone. We know about every tragedy everywhere in the world, every natural disaster, every kind of crisis, every kind of oppression and abuse, not only in our own communities, not only our own pain and brokenness, but everyone else's. And it's coming at us all the time. No wonder we're filled with anxiety and depression. Because we are not made to carry the infinite pain of this world. We are finite. We are finite. And so some of us need to be careful about what we allow in to our scope. And to practice this release instead of this be exposed to this influx of tragedy all the time. We're in the season of Lent right now, and one of the things I love about Ash Wednesday is just remembering that we are dust, remembering that we are finite, that we can't fix everything, that we are human, and to embrace that there's freedom in being human. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. And this is a woman who spent time in the Nazi concentration camps, Corrie Ten Boom. I pretty much want to read everything she has to say. Now, I know there is, I want to make sure I say that I know there is clinical, chemical anxiety and depression, and do not mistake me for saying, just practice release and it'll all be good. I'm not saying that. I'm saying for those of us who struggle with worry and fear that comes and goes, that this practice might help. And so thank God for the medication that has saved so many lives. The other thing that I believe is a joy burst is for us to be committed to choosing a rhythm of rest. Choose a rhythm of rest in your life. Like Aaron said, yes, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. I mean, it's what you need to restore your soul. Resist this culture that says your value is based on what you produce. all the time. Walter Brueggemann, he's an Old Testament scholar, and he has this idea of Sabbath as resistance. He talks about Sabbath being resistance to basically society that says your worth is based on what you do. Sabbath was put as a resistance to Pharaoh, who had his slaves working 24/7. And so the people of God, when they came out, it's like, no, we're going to Sabbath. We're going to take a day where we're going to rest. Of course, he set it up at the beginning of time, but this is part of it. This is resistance to Pharaoh, who says, come on, be enslaved to what the world wants you to be and do and produce. God says, no. Everyone, and by the way, everyone was supposed to rest. Everyone. To come and remember that we are all the same. To resist the culture that says produce, 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 produce. Some of us need to learn how to say no. Because here's the thing, God gives us enough. He gives us what we need, like manna from heaven, for what he has called us to do. But so many of us are trying to do things that he has not called us to do. And so that's why we're stressed out and going crazy. Because we're like, yes, 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 I'm your girl. Yes, yes, yes. And you never checked in and said, God, is this something you're calling me into? And so we're like, we're going in all 15 bazillion different directions instead of going in the way that he wants us to go. Now, I'm not saying to say no to everything. I'm saying check in with the Spirit. Check in with the Spirit and say, is this the way that you want me to walk in? There's a lot of good things. And as you've heard, it's, you know, what's the enemy of the greatest is the good. The good is the enemy of the great. We have, and the thing with Sabbath is when you come away and rest, what it does is it gives you perspective. And if you're constantly running and you never take a pause, you won't have any perspective on what's really going on because you're going to be like that frog in the kettle. You're boiling and you don't know it. And look at this promise of Isaiah 58, one of my favorite passages in Scripture. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And I know that we are under the new covenant, but the principles of the Ten Commandments still are powerful, and Jesus invites us into those things, right? This is on the list of 10. Practice this. It's on the same list that says do not murder and don't sleep with someone else's husband. That on that same list is remember the Sabbath. God cares very deeply about you resetting and renewing and resting. And this can lead to great, deep joy. Where is the sacred space in your day? Where's the sacred space in your week? If you want a burst of joy, then listen to and follow the voice of Jesus. John 15, 9 through 11 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Listen to the voice of Jesus and obey his voice. I love Ephraim Smith. I heard him say it right here on this stage at summer camp. He said, Jesus makes our obedience his opportunity. Isn't that powerful? And what is the central command there in John 15? What is the command that Jesus wants us to obey? Love each other. Love each other. Some of you are really good at like being moral and keeping all the rules, and then you don't love the people, like you don't love people in your sphere of influence, and you're like, I'm good. But Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God and to love each other. You know, so I think that is the invitation, and there's joy in living a life of love and giving it to others. If you want a joy purse, then soak in Scripture. Soak in Scripture and encounter Jesus there. I'm not talking about the religious ritual of every morning checking it off your list kind of Scripture reading. Yes, I did say that. Now, that could be great because we have to have things in our life that keep us on focus. Great, that's wonderful. But the purpose of opening the Scriptures, Jesus said, is that you would meet him, is to encounter the living God. So when you come and you open your Bible and you soak in Scripture, you're like, Jesus, meet me here. I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to meet with you. I don't want to know more about you unless I know more of you, who you are. Soaking in Scripture is a powerful way for you to increase your joy. Mark Batterson says, when you open your Bible, God opens his mouth. I love that. I remember just a specific example of this for me. I remember the day after Donald Trump was elected in November of 2016, and I was preaching the next Sunday, and I was just so overwhelmed with being the spiritual leader voice the Sunday after what was a very divisive day, no matter how you feel about it, very divisive season in our country. And I was like, how am I going to handle this? And I was like, dealing with that. Then I was looking at my calendar, and it felt like there was more there than I could find capacity in myself. And have you ever had that feeling that you're panicking and that you're drowning even though there's no water? I started to feel that kind of feeling. And so Jesus was like, come on over here, girl. Let's get together. And so I opened up. He actually led me to Matthew 11 that says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And I breathed just a little more deeply, and the joy began to return. And then he took me to a passage in Psalm 81. I think I was doing the lectionary, and that was the passage for the day. And it says in Psalm 81, I will relieve your shoulder of its burden. I will free your hands from their heavy tasks. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And as a speaker, I often claim that. Open your mouth. Jesus, open your mouth. God says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. I trust him to do that. And so all of a sudden, through time sitting with him, and instead of gazing at all of the stuff I had to do, and glancing at him, another thing I learned as a little girl, that I would instead gaze at him and glance at the issues. That's a huge difference. And when I gazed on him and I began to focus on what he had to say about everything, the joy began to return. This is what I mean by soaking in the scriptures and finding joy and hope and renewal and just what you need. If you want joy, then resist the enemy. Resist the enemy. We talked about this last night. We are opposed. The people of God are opposed by an enemy. And Jesus said, the enemy comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So if you find yourself being robbed of joy, that's the enemy's job, to steal, kill, destroy joy in your life and all the fruit of the Spirit in your life, all of your rootedness, to destroy that. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life abundant, abundant life. This fullness of life. And by the way, that doesn't necessarily mean the American dream, sisters. Have you ever noticed that people who are favored in the Bible, Mary was highly favored. What happened to her son? Being favored by God means you get in on his kingdom. You get to be a part of his work in this world. It doesn't mean that you get everything you want and that you're happy and everything is perfect. Being favored of God, Elizabeth was favored of God. Where did her son end up? He was beheaded, but he was the one who said, Jesus, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Elizabeth, an older mother. I believe she was an older mother. I think God planned that because she was able to handle his crazy life. John the Baptist was crazy, crazy prophet. And he changed the world. But not in the way that everything ends up perfect with a tied bow. The favor of God on your life means you get to be a part of what God's doing in the world, and there is no greater joy. There is no greater joy than that. So, as we resist the enemy, resist him, and he will flee in a moment because you have the power of the name of Jesus. And when you speak his name, the enemy flees. I love this picture in the message, the same verse. So let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. The reason I love this is because it reminds me that the enemy is a rodent, that I can trample under my feet by the power of Jesus that lives in me. Paul says in Ephesians that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. So I am not going to let the enemy, who's really a rodent, steal my joy in any way. So when I sense that coming in, I say, in Jesus' name, get out, spirit of comparison. Get out, spirit of hurry. In Jesus' name, anxiety, get out. I heard a song yesterday. It says, fear is a liar that is running out of breath. In Jesus' name, resist the enemy. You have the power of the God of the universe living inside of you. Tap into that power and resist all that stuff that's coming against you. Name it and call out the enemy because all the power is yours. He has no power over you unless you believe the lie. None. Zilch. It is a rodent. And it's not, you know, it's the angel of light. Enemy disguises himself as the angel of light, so it's often very subtle. These are the things that get us. More that we know evil, clear evil. Enemy's not going to get there. He's going to try to get you in subtle ways, like self-hatred. Just that little thing called self-hatred. It's a big problem for women. I kind of alluded to it last night. The way that we talk about ourselves. The way that we curse ourselves. The way that we compare ourselves. And so every time I begin to compare myself or my body to someone else, what I do is that's a trigger to bless my body. I bless her. I begin to speak life. Oh, I bless these arms. I bless these arms that have held so many people as they've cried. I bless these arms who've comforted children, who've comforted my husband. I bless these arms. It's not about how toned they are. It's about how far they've reached to embrace people. That doesn't mean exercise isn't important. I'm not talking about that. We honor our bodies. We care for our bodies. But we also bless them for where they are right now. I bless my soft belly. That is a very nice place for people to rest. My family. I mean, but I have had random people come up and lay on my lap before. Yeah, at the park. But that's okay. But you know what? I bless the softness. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this soft place to fall, right? And so instead, it's easy to get up and go, oh, wow, where did these come from? Thank you, God, that I get to be 48. Because how many people don't make it to 48? How many people never get to have wrinkles or gray speckles or whiskers? Oh. Yeah. There's a movie. But yeah, this idea of just blessing and being thankful, reframing instead of cursing, resist. How much joy would that bring you to bless your body? Bless your body for what it survived. That I am still standing. Some of you are still standing under. It's been unspeakable what has happened to your body, the way someone has misused your body. Blessing her for surviving. And that you are still standing and you are still here. And God has things for you. He wants to redeem that story. We need to be blessing instead of cursing, resisting the enemy who wants to lie and steal and kill and destroy the beauty of God in and through you and your life. Not today, Satan. Not today. There is no way that I'm going to let the enemy steal and kill and destroy what God wants to do in me, and don't let him do it to you either. If you want a joy burst, get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your comfort zone. And follow the Spirit into uncharted territories. Stop playing it safe. And you know, God always just gives you the next step. Sometimes we don't go to these places because we think of 15 steps down. Just take the next one. You don't have to worry about 15 steps down. God will be there. Just take the next step. Get out of your comfort zone. What is it that God is calling you into? Super exciting. What does he want to do with all these? Look around you. If all of us were listening to the Spirit and unafraid and resisting the enemy and taking the next step out of our comfort zone, we would literally change the Bay Area by the power of the Spirit. Literally, this amount of women, fully committed and free and rooted in love and truth, could go out, man, revival. That's what could happen if we were living into this. But we let things hold us back. And I know there's things that we need to work through, and some of us need to stay in the space that we are and allow God to heal us. In that space, and we are able to heal each other, which is powerful. By the power of his spirit, we heal each other in community. Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And I think denying self is more about your self-will, your self-satisfaction, your self-agenda, your self, just that whole part that says you are God and he is not. Denying that part. It's not denying the part of yourself that God made you to be. That doesn't make sense. It's denying that part that wants to take you somewhere else and have you do your own thing and say, no, I'm going to take up my cross and follow him wherever he leads me. Follow him. Get out of your comfort zone. Stop playing it safe. If you want joy, then fight for justice for the oppressed. For people in your community who have less power than you, people with more vulnerability, use your power to fight for the equality of others. Look up and out, giving and fighting for justice, focusing on something other than ourselves can bring us great joy. And God is closer than ever when we are with those who are most vulnerable. He is closer than ever. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? When he says this kind of fasting, in other words, spiritual practice, true spiritual practice, actually gets us into the work of justice. When you are truly meeting and connecting with God, your heart will break for what breaks his, and you will want to engage with it, with his people. This is what he says. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Does that sound like joy? The light will break forth. Then I will call you, and then you will call, and the Lord will answer your cry for help, and he will say, here am I. He's with you right there in it, and in his presence is fullness of joy. Fight for justice. And there's, I want to just give a real practical response to this today. We have the Freedom Fighters here from, based at Fremont Community Church, my home church. This is a movement of mostly women, I believe, who have risen up to address the crisis of human trafficking right in our Bay Area. And what has happened is that there is a profound need for homes devoted to these women, because it's a very unique niche. Women who've been trafficked. It's different than domestic violence. It's different than drug abuse. It's there's all kinds of different, it's very, very unique. And there is such a profound need. And when I was a foster parent, foster parenting and human trafficking, 60% of the kids rescued out of an FBI raid, 60%, human trafficking raid, 60% were kids from foster care. Because targeters, the human traffickers target kids in foster care who are not placed in loving homes. These are not kids that are placed in loving homes. These are kids that are not placed, who never find a stable environment. And so the traffickers are like, I'll be your daddy, literally. Not on my watch. Let's fight this. Let's do something about this. So this is what you can do. When I was a foster parent, I had a child that had witnessed unspeakable horror because his mom had been trafficked. He was in my home. You can imagine how hard that was. And I wish that there was a place for her. She was not addicted to drugs. There was no place for her to go. And I wished there was a home that I could have recommended for her. And so I had a dream, and that started as a desire. We talked about last night. I actually sat around a table with women about 3 or 4 years ago and said, I dream of a day where we can open up another home for victims, survivors of human trafficking. I can tell you we're $125,000 closer to opening that house through the movement of the Freedom Fighters. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Okay, so they are here this weekend. If you want to learn more about the movement and what they're doing, come to the tables out there. You can also buy jewelry. Every single penny of what you purchase goes to buy that house. So you can be a part today of fighting for justice by getting someone a Mother's Day gift. You know, like, redirect your spending and fight for justice. I'm almost done. If you want a burst of joy, then be the gift. Be a conduit of joy to someone else. You be the one who brings it. Make it your mission to bring joy to someone that God puts in your space every day. This changes the world. One moment at a time, one burst of joy at a time. Matthew 5:13-16, I'm going to wind it up here. And the message says, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God's not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Shine with the joy of Jesus. You are rooted in joy. What I want to ask this morning in response is for you to spend some time in your time alone with God this morning, reflecting on these practices that we reviewed together and thinking about what is one of these ways that I can go deeper to become deeper rooted in joy. What is one practice that you can begin to add to your daily life that could just change the course just a bit? We also have a Kristen Klute, she's the founder of Field Guides for the Way. She put together a reflection guide for you today around Jeremiah 17. So that will be on the back on the tables as another option for you as you spend time with Jesus today. And then we're going to come back together. So we're going to leave in silence, theoretically. And we'll break the silence with our first seminar at 11:30, but can I pray over you before you go out? Jesus, I thank you that you were filled with the spirit of joy. Thank you for the way that you delighted in children. Thank you that your goodness is constantly before us. I pray that you would give every single soul sitting in this space the eyes to see and the ears to hear your goodness. Would you remove the barriers that are keeping them from seeing you, Jesus, and your goodness flowing to them, no matter where they are at in the season of their lives? God, I pray that you would lead them by your spirit to the workshops today. Would you lead them to the workshops that would be transformational for them? God, would you give them a word straight from you to their hearts today? And right now, as we go into this quiet time, I pray, Lord, for just a sweet time. I pray that we would push through the uncomfortable space of silence. Push through that so that we can hear and attend to the most important voice that we will hear all weekend, and that is your voice, your gentle whisper. Would you whisper? Would you give dreams and visions and ideas and words and comfort and hope and joy? Would you just sprinkle them all over everyone in this space by the power of your spirit. We can't wait. We can't wait to hear what you have to say to us. We can't wait. Thank you, Lord. We pray in your name. Amen.